Adam, hey, you know, there's obviously a lot of excitement, I think, in the soccer community. I know a lot of people who aren't even necessarily soccer fans who are like, hey, I'm excited to watch this team. And so there's some upcoming friendlies. What should we expect? Who's going? What's it mean?
Yeah, it's the unofficial kickoff to Qatar. So I think that's the magic of the World Cup, that even, as you rightfully point out, people that aren't diehard club supporters can all rally around any time the Maple Leaf plays in any sport. So the fact that we do have two friendlies coming up, this little European series that John Herdman has put together, is very exciting. European in that they're playing in Europe, but they do have some opposition. They're playing Qatar, of course, the World Cup host coming up in just a couple of months, and Uruguay. So two very good tests. It's far from a perfect window because Canada, of course, wants to play the top of the top, the best available opposition. But these international windows are so tricky for coaches to try and navigate because, especially in the UEFA side of things, which is the European Football Confederation, they have their Nations League as well throughout these windows. So getting a European opponent was near impossible. You couple that with the fact that when Europe does look for friendly opponents, they're typically looking for those top tier, top echelon teams to try and mimic as best as they can what they'll see in their group. So it's not necessarily John Herdman's number one choice, but there are a lot of things about Qatar and about Uruguay to get excited about. Mostly the fact that this is the first time since January of 2020 that Canada's playing somebody outside of CONCACAF. So that in itself is very exciting for Canadian soccer supporters. No, Canada will not be facing Qatar in their group, but there are some similarities in the way that Qatar play. They like to typically play in a back three, and that's not something that Les Rouges will be totally unaccustomed to, but I think it's a good reintroduction to that second tier of football. And we know the World Cup hosts typically get in a really good form, especially with Qatar, because they're hosting this tournament. So the government, the federation, is putting as much money as possible. They're playing friendlies and exhibitions against other powerhouses, even some European club teams, just trying to get as much football as possible as they prepare for Qatar to host themselves. And then Uruguay is very exciting. There are some big, big names that Uruguay fields. We're talking about players from Real Madrid and Barcelona and top echelon players that no doubt Canadian soccer supporters will be very excited about. In terms of who's available, Jason, it's not a fully healthy team. There are some question marks and some potential concerns that are starting to come to the surface for Canada. Noah Tiba Hutchinson, we know how old he is, and the fact that he's going to be able to go if he's healthy to a World Cup is a fantastic story in itself. But with his injury, no Jonathan Osorio from Toronto FC, as he's coming back from a head injury, and I think all soccer and sports supporters know how careful and cautious you want to be with those types of injuries. There's no clear timetable. It's not as simple as getting an x-ray and saying, okay, he's good to go now. So he's taking his time. And then there's a couple other players that are really good in the midfield that Canada will be missing. But having said that, Jason, that also gives some newcomers a chance to audition for the team as well.
Adam, you mentioned it's been over 2 years since Canada's played anybody outside of CONCACAF. Is the style of playing CONCACAF significantly different?
I'd say so. I think it's definitely unique and distinct. It's got that propensity and that general stereotype of being a very physical brand. Everyone will throw the term CONCACAF around as a noun instead of just describing the region. That has to do with play acting and some of the atmospheres and the supporters' tensions that it can provide. So Canada being at a neutral venue in Europe for this definitely helps take it away. But listen, I think when you get to the distinct regions, everyone is slightly different in how they play. And it's a lot of it comes down to when you're seeing the same countries, when you're competing to get into Gold Cups in CONCACAF, for example, or for the Europeans to play in whether it is the UEFA CONCACAF or the UEFA Nations League or even the Euros, which of course is a monster tournament of its own. You sort of pick and choose your favorite styles of football. It's generally a bit more finesse, a bit more mental in terms of how games are game planned out, and the tactics really shine in European competition especially. So Canada will get taste of that. And then after this window, they have Japan coming up as a friendly as well. That was announced a couple of weeks ago, less than a week before they play Belgium for the first time. So it is definitely important for Canada to see someone outside of CONCACAF and just a higher quality of opponent too. Like I mentioned earlier, Canada will be playing some players who are with some of the best clubs in the world, and with that brings a little bit extra swagger and pressure and general fear may not be the right word. The players certainly won't be afraid going into it, but I think supporters might be apprehensive because Canada's going toe-to-toe. This is no longer one team with one star. These are nations and teams of stars, which is as close to what John Herdman wants to get to before the World Cup comes, when it's three matches, and before you know it, it's going to be over. So every game, every different style, every different opponent is going to be very important. And I think especially with Uruguay, you're going to see a midfield battle, and I think that's one of the areas that Canada thinks they're strong in, especially when they're fit. And then we get to see how Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies and Kyle Larin and the offensive stars, Jason, perform against much better teams and not just a few star players in CONCACAF regions.
Adam Jenkins from One Football joins us. You know, obviously with Canada getting into the World Cup and how they did it, like they were dominant in a lot of their games and controlled it. So what's realistic expectations? I've seen some people say score a goal, right? Get a win. When you look at their draw, what do you think is a realistic expectation, assuming everybody's healthy?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And that answer will depend, Jason, on who you ask. I think realistically, you're going into your first World Cup match in nearly four decades, and you're playing Belgium. That is the number two ranked team in the world with one of the best players in Kevin De Bruyne, and he's far from the only one. There's Eden Hazard when he's in form, which he tends to be for country more than club recently, but that's going to be tough. You're obviously going to have the awe and everything that comes with your first time. I don't know that Canadian supporters are expecting much out of that. John Herdman and Alistair Johnson and all the players do, and all the meetings are talking about how you're using every single day to game plan for Belgium, arguably their toughest opponent first. So, I mean, if Canada gets a draw in that game, I think that would be as close to a great result as you can get. But with the way the schedule is wired, I think what makes it very exciting is that in the final match, Morocco, that is where you will feel like you must win that game to have a chance to get out of the group. So if you can get two scrappy draws, or if you can surprise a Belgium or surprise a Croatia, it will all come down to that final game, which will make the stakes and the expectations all the more higher. But while this journey is happening, I think it is important to celebrate the small victories. This is a very, very difficult group, and the last time Canada was at the World Cup, they didn't score a goal. So yes, scoring a goal will be cause for celebration. All of the hopeful first win, but we're going to get a pretty good sense pretty quickly after the middle game against Croatia what the realistic expectations are. And ultimately, no Canadian supporters is going to want to hear pragmatism right now, but I think it's worth keeping in the back of your mind that everything that happens in this World Cup will only help Canada for 2026. It's just how quickly and how far ahead of schedule is this team really, and we're only a couple of months away from finding out.
What's your expectations for Alphonso Davies in this tournament?
I think this is going to be hungry, motivated Alphonso Davies. And we don't often see that with Canada on this stage. Of course he cares. He's one of the proudest players on that team. And anytime he takes to the pitch, he is dazzling. But I think in this environment, he's at Bayern Munich where he's playing with so many people that probably couldn't find Canada on a map or still make the jokes, didn't know Canada had a good soccer team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think Alphonso and the rest of the team are rallying behind that underdog story, and they want to make a splash. And they've done that in pieces with the U.S. and Mexico and with the qualifying. Remember, they had to go through the hard route. They didn't just get that bye until the final round. They had to go through the Arubas and the Cayman Islands and Suriname and all of these trips outside of the traditional CONCACAF powers, and they never missed a step. So what this is about now is all of the talk, all of the swagger that's accompanying Canada right now, can that translate onto literally the world's biggest stage? And you have to remember, too, with players, Alphonso Davies might be a bit of an exception, but there's a lot of guys that are auditioning for career and life-changing moves. They will have all of the eyes on the world around them, and the players will want to show that they're worthy of that next record sale and moving on to bigger and better things. Alphonso's already sort of skipped that step by going to Bayern Munich right from Vancouver Whitecaps, and he's already come with that global superstar aspect to him. I think that rubs off by osmosis, and I think while this is still very much Atiba Hutchinson and a lot of the veterans
team, like your Milan Borjan, the expectations will be on Alphonso Davies to perform. So long as John can manage everyone so that there's no individual play and people just trying to go out for themselves, which isn't really in Canada's DNA anyways, I think the skill, the effort, and the gravitas that Alphonso brings will also rub off onto his teammates. And I always hearken back to, this isn't a Canadian team that has the baggage and the scars of some of the previous generations. These guys almost don't know how to lose. And until they do that, they're going to play with that confidence that they can't be beat until they're beat. And when they do get punched in the mouth, they always come back and they come back hungrier. So I think Alphonso is going to have a great tournament. He's pretty close to his ceiling already. He'll still get better, but I think it's how he's going to help his teammates take that next step as well while managing the pressure, which will be his biggest impact.
Adam, I really appreciate the rundown, man. We look forward to it, watching it, and getting us hyped up for Qatar. Can't wait, a few months away.
The countdown is on, Jason. I'm glad to be on. Thank you.